Good morning, everyone. Welcome to December 3rd Economic Development Freight Advisory Committee meeting. The first thing we'll start with is approval of the agenda. Has everyone had a chance to look at the agenda? Does anyone have any comments, concerns, anything they would like to add, or any changes they would like to see made to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll approve the agenda as is and we'll move forward with the action items. The first action item is going to be election of officers. Is there anyone that wants to nominate someone for the chairman? Anybody? Any nominations? It's open. You may have to unmute yourself if you want to speak. Is there, is it star six, Mark, to do that, Wicoda? Okay. How do you unmute?
There's a microphone icon at the bottom of your screen that should be.
Okay.
On the lower right, left, lower left.
Are most people on the computer? All right. And then is it an option to type as well?
To type, there should be a, an option to type.
I guess maybe let's back up just 1 minute.
There is a chat box. There is a chat box if you look in the lower, lower right-hand side of the menu bar under more. There's an option for chat.
Hey, this is Brant. This is Brant Herndon. I'd like to renominate Pam as chairman. I think she's done a great job.
Thank you.
I second that nomination.
Okay. Well, you know, before we get into that too far, you know what? We did kind of skip. Can we go through and find out who all is at the meeting? Can everyone, Mark, is there a way to go through and see who all is on the Zoom meeting?
Sure, I could just read off that,
that
would help. Might go a little quicker.
That would help.
Okay, there's, aside from myself, Brant Herndon, Wicoda Wong. Now here's somebody that dialed in that may need to identify themselves by unmuting. Their number is 912-433-1607.
That's me.
Okay.
Pam.
Okay. And then the list rearranged itself. So let me get back. Michelle Strickland, Tom McQueen, Anne-Marie Day, Jesse Dillon from CETA, Sally Helm with NPC, and there you are again on the list, Pam. So we have 11 participants in total.
I see Vivian from GDOT as well.
Oh, she just dialed in? Okay. I'm just admitting her now. Apparently I have to do that by hand.
There's another 404 number. I don't know who.
Hi, okay. That's me. This is Justin Farquhar, the develop.
And George Fittler is joining. Welcome, George.
And Justin, did you say who you're with, please?
The Development Authority of Bryan County.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yep. So Mark. We're up to 13 participants, yes?
I just checked the bylaws. So 35% of the members constitute a quorum. So we have like 19 seats. So 35%, that's seven people would make a quorum.
I'm here.
Hi, George.
Hey, George.
Hey, everybody.
Okay. Okay, so are we good? Have you guys got a list of everybody that's participating then for the meeting?
We do. I can drop it into the chat box if that helps.
That would be great. Thank you.
I'll try.
All right, well, we'll move back to election of officers. Is there any other nominations other than me for the chairman position? Anyone that's interested in nominating themselves, perhaps? Okay. All right. Well, if not, should we go ahead and ask for nominations for the vice chair then, please? Let's see. Brant, would you like to are you interested in being the vice chair?
I'd be more than happy to. You beat me to the punch because I was about to nominate somebody else. But yes, I'll be more than happy to.
If you want to nominate somebody else, you can.
No. Okay. I was going to stick it to somebody else as a joke. But no, I'm more than happy to be accept the nomination if everybody would like me to be the vice chair. Yes, I'll accept.
Okay. All right. Are there any other nominations for vice chair? Okay. All right. Well, let's continue then with the election of the chairman. Is all in favor? Everyone in favor of me continuing as the chairman for this next year?
Aye.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Aye. Is there anyone against? Any nays? Any noes? Okay. All right. Then that's decided. Okay. As for the vice chair position. Is all in favor of Brant Herndon as the vice chair? Please say aye.
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 Are there any noes? Okay, then Brant, you've got it. So we've got election of officers complete. Thank you. Approval of the June 20th, the last meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review those, or at least the opportunity to do so? Are there any concerns? Any discussion? All right, hearing none, all in favor of approving the June 20th, 2019 meeting minutes, please say aye.
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 Are there any noes? All right. Meeting minutes are approved. All right. Moving on to the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 TIP adoption. The revised draft, is that Wycote, are you going to go over that for us?
Yes, I'll just go over the TIP develop, but I need to share my screen. Yeah.
Right. Can you share your screen with us?
How do I share my screen? Share my screen? Host disabled participant screen sharing.
I'm enabling it. Are you able to do it now?
Okay. Yes.
Here it comes.
Okay. First of all, let me just thank Alicia who helped me design this slide. She has done a very good job. It looks much, much prettier than my version.
Yes, thanks, Alicia.
So a lot of you are already on this committee and got involved before, so you know what the transportation improvement programs are. And it is the MPO short-range programming document, and it covers a multi-year, normally it's like 4-year, prioritized multimodal highway, transit, non-motorized projects. And it's a subset of the 2045 long-range transportation plan. So it's the highest priority from the 2045 long-range transportation plan to be included in the TIP. And it's cooperatively developed by the Quorum PO, GDOT, CAD, and other MPO member agencies. So a lot of you have already participated in the scoring process, so you know how we developed the TIP. This is how we did it. In January, we started the call for projects for the HIP 030 and 301 funds, and then COVID-19 hit. So we got delayed a little bit, but we eventually were able to evaluate and rank all of those applications, and then the TCC has met twice to allocate the HIP 030 and 301 funds based on the actual revenue projections, because when we did the call for projects, we just assumed some dollars would be available. But when we actually got the actual revenue projections from GDOT, the TCC was able to allocate the funds for that, and then we have the preliminary draft sent to GDOT, FTA, and FHWA. And then we receive the comments, we incorporate those comments, and then we are still in the public review period for the revised draft, which ends today, at the end of today. So, and then our target is to have this new tip adopted on December 9th, next Wednesday, by the MPO board. And so now it's going through all the committees. And as you know, since MAP 21, we are required to incorporate performance-based planning programming into long-range plan, UPWP, TIP, CMP. So it's just all the MPO planning products have to have PBPP incorporation. So as part of the PBPP is like we have to adopt the targets, performance targets. So for the highway, we have safety targets and we have PM2, so congestion freight, and then we have PM2 and PM3, pavement and bridge and air quality. And for the transit, we have like asset management, transit safety. So ideally, the long-range transportation plan, TIP, CMP, freight plan, every plan and program contribute to achieving the performance targets. So this is why our adopted targets. For the safety targets, we have to adopt it every year, so adopt it annually. So we adopted these targets, number of fatalities, number of serious injuries, fatality rate, serious injury rate, total number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. And so on the left, you can see those are the targets. So these are the targets, safety targets that was developed by GDOT. So the MPO has been adopting to accept the statewide targets, because the GDOT will be collecting data and then they will do the evaluation to see the effectiveness and says how this overall in the state, how all these projects are contributing to these targets. So we are basically adopting the state targets. So this is the safety targets. And then the PM2 and the PM3 targets don't have to be adopted annually. So they normally adopt every four years, I think. Every 4 years, every 2 years. So for the bridge conditions and pavement, so the targets, you can see the baseline and then Georgia's 2-year targets and 4-year targets. So basically you want to make sure the percentage of interstate pavement is in good condition. The percentage of interstate pavement is in So the percentage in good condition are like larger than 50% or something. In poor condition would be smaller than 5%. And also the percent of interstate NHS, National Highway System, pavement in good condition, percent of National Highway System bridges by deck areas in good condition. So you can see the targets over here. And we also adopted the freight movement and CMAQ PM3 targets basically back in August 2018. So when GDOT developed the new targets, they would send us and then we would have to adopt those again. So by that time, these numbers will change. But right now, this is the currently adopted targets for the like percent of person miles on the interstate system that are reliable, percent of personal miles on the non-interstate National Highway System that's reliable, truck travel time reliability index. So these are the targets. And for the transit, because we have two transit system operating over here, the urban portion is Chatham Area Transit, and then the rural portion is Coastal Regional Commission. And the Coastal Regional Commission's TAM targets are developed by GDOT because they joined the GDOT group target setting, but CAD developed their own. And then when the MPO adopted our targets, we actually consolidated both. So we choose the targets, and these are the adopted targets by the MPO board. So it's including like rolling stock for bus, minivans, vans, school bus, so ferry boats and equipment, automobiles, trucks, facilities, etc., passengers and parking. So as I indicated, the long-range transportation plan and TIP are supposed to have projects that contribute to achieving these targets. So now we are looking at some of the TIP projects that we have, we included in this fiscal. So you can see, the first thing you can see is we have this matrix. You have the project on the left side, and you have the performance measures on the other side. So you can see one project probably doesn't contribute only one performance measure. It normally it contributes to multiple performance measures. For example, project during the top one, project during. So it will contribute to safety, achieving the safety. It will improve safety. It will relieve congestion, and it will facilitate freight movement. And then the bridges, for example, the bridges over here. So definitely it will contribute to safety, and it will probably definitely contribute to the pavement and the bridge conditions. And since it is on the US 17 or STR 21, STR 25, so it's pretty close to the Georgia Ports Authority. So we know a lot of trucks travel over there because our freight plan actually identified that that is high percentage truck area. So it definitely when we have the bridge replacement, so it will definitely improve freight movement. And then for the US 404, US 17 bridge, Back River Bridge, so GDOT and South Carolina DOT are cooperatively working on these two projects. So the US 17 widening and then the building of a new bridge, it would definitely improve safety. It will definitely improve pavement and bridges conditions. And okay, actually, I think it might contribute to congestion as well, but it will facilitate the freight movement as well because it's close to, it's just like interstate travel. And Brampton Road Connector, we know is a freight project. So from the very beginning, we know it is a freight project. And it will help to relieve congestion in the port area outside of the gate. And then I-16 widening and I-16 at I-95 interchange reconstruction. Everybody knows how dangerous that interchange is right now. So by rebuilding this interchange, and definitely that will improve safety because there are a lot of accidents happening right now. So it will improve safety, and it's interstate. So it's a major freight route between the port and the Atlanta area, so going west. So that will improve freight. It will improve congestion. And then by replacing the current bridge, it will improve the bridge pavement as well. And you can see the other one that is related to the freight, the I-16 interchange at Little Neck Road. So we just finished that study, and then this is one of the recommendations. So we're going to start implementing the projects from the recommendations from the study. And then the traffic control center, city of traffic control center. So by having all these ITS signal coordinations, you definitely will improve safety by probably reducing like a rear end crash. And also because of the coordination of the signals, it would definitely reduce congestion. And then also on all of the freight corridors, it will improve the movements of the freight. And also, that will help the transit as well, because the buses will be on the road as well and benefit from the signal coordination. And then because of the reduction of the stop and go, so you will probably improve air quality as well. Another one that we have, Old River Road widening. This is the Chatham County is working with Bryan County and Effingham County to develop this project, probably mostly Effingham County. So we know there will be some warehouses located over there. So that will be related to freight. And then the Old River Road currently is like two lane, one lane on each side. So when we have this widening project, it will probably improve safety. So you can see how these projects are related to the performance measures. And then the next one, you see the I-95 from Florida state line to Carolina. So this is ITS project. So ITS project actually, it will will contribute to achieving the performance targets of all these targets. And then we have several lump sum projects. So those are operational improvements, but STR 21 is a freight corridor, and I-16, Chatham Parkway are both freight corridors. So the improvements on these will definitely improve safety and reduce congestion and then facilitate freight movement. And in the meantime, probably improve air quality as well, because these are coordinated work. And then we have a lump sum projects. A lump sum project basically is a varied, so you have a maintenance, you have a safety. This includes a lot of categories. So they contribute to a lot of these performance targets. And this is the total investment in current TIP. So if you include all the highway projects and the transit projects totals, the total investment is about $573 or $572 million. And about 90% of that is highway investments. That includes, actually, this includes a tiny portion, probably some funds to be flexed to CAD for bus purchase. And also this highway percentage also includes some trail projects. For example, the Truman Linear Park Trail, Phase 2B, and Terrace Road and Girard Avenue improvement. So I just, because they're using the highway funds, so that's why I lumped them all into the highway percentage. So most of the highway percentage is 90%, and transit percentage is like about 10%. And then, as I mentioned, one certain project doesn't contribute only one target. So if you just calculate like how much money will be spent on the projects related to safety improvements, you can see like 85% of the project investments contribute to safety. 82% of the projects contribute to congestion. And about 75% of the projects total investment contributed to freight movement. About 68% contribute to pavement and bridges. And about 23% or 24% will contribute to air quality. And then the transit safety and transit asset management are basically from the transit improvement projects. So the summary would be yes. The proposed TIP, fiscal 2021 to 2024 TIP projects, include a high percentage of projects that address safety, freight, and congestion. And each project normally addresses several performance measures. And the TIP overall contributes to achieving the performance targets for the various categories. And because of that, the TIP will also help to contribute to the economic development of the Savannah region. So for the ADFAC, we were just requesting that ADFAC endorse the proposed transportation improvement program to the CORMPU board. So the CORMPU board can adopt the TIP and next Wednesday's meeting. Any questions? Hello?
Hi.
Okay.
We're all here.
Pam, if I could say a word, I wanted again to thank Alicia for working on this new template, and we're going to be trying to develop some additional templates especially for different committees. So Wycota, I think your breakdown of all the information was very helpful in understanding the impact of the TIP, and Alicia, I think the way that you helped us present it is equally helpful. So if you have any feedback on the presentations as we're changing up some of the appearance and formats, let us know, because we're going to be making a few changes going forward.
Okay.
That's all I had to say.
Thank you. Yep, I appreciate that. And thank you, Wycota, for presenting that information. Does anyone, I guess she already asked, but just in case, we'll give you another chance. Anyone have any questions, concerns, or discussion about the TIP adoption? Okay, hearing none, then can I get a motion to endorse the revised draft TIP?
This is George, so moved.
Second.
This is Brian, I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Are there any no's? Okay. Motion passes. Okay. That's it for the action items then. Do we have any other business? Okay. Before we go to the status reports, I have a quick question. I didn't see anything on here, Mark, about the next meeting.
Oh, we haven't.
Do we have anything scheduled right now?
No, we don't. But that was certainly something that would probably be a good idea for the committee to discuss. We had identified, you don't have six regularly scheduled meetings per year like the other committees, but we, the bylaws indicate that you should probably be meeting at least a couple of times a year. And one of the times that we had decided would be productive would be during the TIP development because of the setting of those priorities. But, you know, that would be probably a good thing to discuss while the committee is convened. You know, what's coming up, for example, that the committee would like to take a look at and be involved with.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't, we don't have anything really on the agenda here. And I know I didn't bring it up earlier, but as far as, you know, things that that the committee has concerns about, anything that, that isn't already on the tip that anyone's interested in looking at, any particular roads or locations, anything like that. Is there anything that anybody on the committee has any concerns about or would like to see addressed by this committee?
You know, one thing that I would one thing that I would suggest, and we don't have a precise schedule for it yet. It's going to be kicking off, I would say, in the spring, certainly after January. I'm not sure the exact date, but I would think probably we'd start talking about it either in February or March would be the congestion management process update, and that probably. Is well within the object of this committee to, you know, be involved in certain aspects of that.
Well, let's see, the next TCC is February, right?
We'll meet in February, and then April.
And then in April?
Yeah.
Yeah. How would everybody feel about meeting again maybe in April?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay, just to kind of keep, because, you know, if we go for a year or more, it kind of forget what we're doing, so.
Oh, I think this is, I think this is the COVID year that's thrown everybody off, and one of the reasons that it took us so long to pinpoint when we thought we should call this meeting, well, one was the disruption in the way we were holding meetings, but then, for a while, we were a little bit uncertain what the TIP schedule was going to be. So that's just kind of been a snafu year for us for a couple of reasons. But yeah, we'll look at doing that in April, and presumably that will presumably by that time we'll be starting to dig in on the congestion management process, which will be a good topic.
Good. Okay. Thank you. All right, let's move on to the status reports then. I'm not sure who's doing that for the MPO. Is that Wycota?
Oh, Mark. No, that's me.
Yeah, Mark.
That's me.
That's Mark.
Can you see my screen? It's the status of recent RFPs.
No, Mark, you're still sharing my screen. You need to
I thought I stopped your share. Oh,
I stopped my share. I stopped my share.
Oh, I started to and then... Let me try again. Well, I started to stop you, and then they were still talking about it, so I didn't want to jump the gun. And then, which window do I want to share? Let's share that one. Okay. I don't talk and share too well at the same time. So hopefully you can see it now. Can everyone see the status of recent core MPO RFPs? Okay, yeah. Not a whole lot. There's not a whole lot to report yet on this. We had issued RFPs, as everyone probably is aware, for the State Route 21 Access Management Study and for the State Route 307 Corridor Study. The proposals were due for both on November 16th, and those were reviewed for completeness and compliance with the required elements and routed to the review team members for each study on November 18th. We requested review scores back to us by December 1st, And I believe we still have some outstanding reviews on both studies. I think that we have on State Route 21 Access Management study, for example, 3 of 9 respondents have scored. So we're still waiting on quite a few there. And let's see, we did have a total of one of the issues, I think, aside from Thanksgiving, is just that we've had a large number of responses to each study. I'd say about twice as many as we normally would receive. I'd say 2 to 3 times as many. We had 9 respondents for the State Route 21 Access Management study. I've got 3 people score. So I'm going to be requesting at the meetings today and individually through email that these folks try to get their scores to us by Monday morning at the latest. I think that if we have that, we can probably still adhere to the intended schedule of holding the interviews next Thursday and Friday. If we aren't able to wrap up the scoring of the proposals early next week, then I'm afraid that schedule is probably going to slip. And if we slip next week, we're probably slipping into next year, into January, simply because with holidays coming up and with people having to take their vacation time before the end of the year, it's just not looking like if we can't get the scores by Monday and quickly get things set up for later next week, I think we're probably just going to have to regroup and find some dates in January that'll work for everybody. So if you're on one of the teams and you know who you are and you haven't submitted your scores, I would suggest you tear right through those proposals and give it your best shot and send us something. If we have it by Monday morning, I think we can still get those meetings scheduled later in the week. But we're going to need probably at least a half a day's of work worth of everybody's time for each one that they're reviewing, because we're probably going to have 3, 4, 5 proposals, the way it's looking so far, that need to be interviewed for each study. And then I have the 307 corridor study RFP. I have 4 of 6 people's, 4 of 6 reviewers' responses. And we had, because there was a smaller number of consultant teams proposed on that one, we had 7 on 307 corridor study, which is a bigger study, more money, so I'm not sure why it went that way. And that's all I really have. We did receive the funding contract for State Route 21 corridor study. So as soon as we do complete the consultant selection process, we will be in a position to negotiate a contract with them and get them underway, you know, as fast as we can do that, because the GDOT funding contract is in place. That's not the case for the 307 corridor study, so it'll sort of be working in tandem to secure the funding contract as we select the consultant to move forward that way. That's really all I have there. If there are any questions on either of them, I'll be happy to answer.
Hey, Mark, this is Brant. The 21 corridor study, what will be the length of that study? I mean, from linear miles, is it from the port up through Effingham, or what exactly is that study?
It goes up, you know, I want to say it goes roughly from where 516 ends
to the diverging diamond.
Not I don't think it goes all the way to the diverging diamond. I think it goes up about to Brampton.
Only up to Brampton.
No, not Brampton.
Grange, maybe.
Grange, I think.
Yeah, Grange.
Oh, okay.
It's Grange.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's an access management. It's not a corridor study. So
right, access management. Yes,
I got you.
Okay. It's access management study.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
And then the 307, as everyone knows, is pretty much all the way from 17 all the way up to the very near the port's main gate up there at 25.
Hmm.
And that's a full corridor study. Yes.
Marcus George, am I on the 307 team or just the 21 team?
Let me double check the list. I do not have you on the 307 list.
Okay, that's fine.
Would you like to be?
if you need me to, I'll do it.
You know, at this point, you know, I guess it's whatever the airport or and you as the airport's representative prefer. But if you think you want to, if you think you want to score the proposals, you'll need to let us know fairly quickly because, you know, we're still trying to get those interviews scheduled for next week if we can get enough scores turned in.
Okay, well, I've got a meeting with the boss tomorrow, so I'll ask him if he wants us to do that.
Okay, and you can let me know and or Sally, either of us, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Great. Thanks. Okay, any other questions on the RFPs?
Okay, can we move to the federal certification review?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, this is just a presentation to update you on the status of the 2021 Core MPO Federal Certification Review for the Savannah Transportation Management Area. And this is a process that is taking place over approximately a 6-month period of time. We've begun some of the preliminary steps this fall. We have submitted a lot of our planning documents and are providing other information to Federal Highway as part of the desk audit right now. And for those who haven't heard of the certification review or haven't participated in one before, it's a 4-year joint review of the metropolitan planning process for areas over 200,000 in population. Just want to confirm, is everyone seeing the PowerPoint?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Federal Highway. And
is there a link to it somewhere?
A link to it?
It's on the website. So the ADVAC committee, if you go to the ADVAC committee, the agenda, this presentation is linked to the agenda.
Yes, it's attached to the agenda items.
Okay, well. All right.
Yeah, but it should be on your Zoom screen if you're watching on your computer right now.
I am, but I'm taking stuff back and forth between my house and the airport. So.
Gotcha. Well, you can, if you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it, you can download it and look at it again and again. So our federal review agencies will be seeking public input on how the process works. And as far as who's involved in the certification review, it's really everyone that's involved in the MPO and the public, the board, the TCC, the CAC, EDFAC committee, and the MPO staff, Georgia Department of Transportation also plays a major role as a participant in the certification review. We'll bring in our planning partners at CAT, the airport, and other governmental agencies. Usually we have interest groups such as Bike Walk Savannah or other, some perhaps Tree Foundation, other interest groups that participate at times in the MPO. I believe I mentioned FTA and Federal Highway, as well as the general public. There will be a public comment period, and there'll be a public meeting in January during the process.
Is the ports involved in this?
The port is invited to participate. They are, we still list them as an advisory member of the MPO board, and Melanie Wilson has been coordinating with them to foster that relationship, rather I should say. So we're hoping to see a little more active participation in the near future.
Now, Red White, the engineer, used to come, and I haven't seen him in a long time, but I'll reach out to him and remind him that we need them to be involved in all this stuff.
Well, they, certainly will be, they're on our contact list, and they'll certainly be receiving information, and we'll be reaching out to them.
Mark, can you hear me?
Yes.
When I made quorum calls, I spoke to Randy the other day, and they are considering coming back and being more involved. They're having a main meeting December 12th. I think he threw out a name, Scott McCurry. So they're working on finding a rep to start participating again.
Okay.
Is Randy not going to do it?
He wasn't sure, but they're having a meeting to see who is going to step in and represent so they can start being involved again.
They're going to arm wrestle for the privilege of who gets to represent on the MPO, I guess.
Somebody will come for the donuts.
Yeah, it's an e-ticket at Disneyland, as they used to say when Disneyland had tickets for everything. But getting back to the certification review as a topic, and I don't think I have to really expand too much on this for this committee. Why is the MPO planning process important? Well, we know that the Metropolitan Transportation Planning Process is the framework by which transportation decisions are made and projects are planned, selected, and prioritized. Establishes a framework for collaboration. The MPOs decide how a large part of the federal transportation funding is spent nationwide. Helps the MPO prioritize regional needs and determine the best and most economical solutions, and provides the future for the framework for the future of the transportation system. So right now, where we are in the process is we're in the desk audit phase of the process. That's where we have sent and are continuing to send a relatively large amount of information to the federal review team. I think the next major and probably the last major piece of that will be a questionnaire that we have been working on that contains detailed responses to well over 100 questions that were posed about the process, and we will be submitting that, I believe, on Monday. And I think then at that point, they'll probably have all of the information that they need for the desk audit. We will have a virtual, I believe, site visit in January because of the ongoing COVID situation. This will be a little different because we normally had an in-person interview. We may not, depending on the way the certification reviews typically work, we may not need the full number of days that have been blocked out. We have 3 days identified, the 19th through the 21st. So we'll begin digging in on the 19th. Believe the public meeting is also going to be that evening of the 19th, but we might not necessarily go all the way through the 21st, depending on how smoothly and quickly things go. The less issues, usually the faster you go, and it's possible that we might wrap up, possibly as early as the middle of the day on the 20th, just depends. Final report will be issued no later than the 31st of March, 2021, and that's being driven by the federal requirement that this be done at least every 4 years, and our last document was signed, I believe, at the end of March in 2017. So just be expecting that there'll be a report back to the MPO. I'm saying here April or February. Most likely the report would be in April unless we learn from Federal Highway that they're comfortable, you know, giving some kind of report in advance, probably of the final certification letter. There may be a progress report, but definitely the wrap-up report would be given by April. Oops, let's see. So the last certification review, we had a site visit from the 23rd to 27th of May 2016 with the public meeting held on the 23rd of May. I think I've made a mistake on the date. The closeout couldn't have been May 23rd. It must have been the 27th, so ignore that date. The closeout would have been at the end of the site visit, not at the beginning. The follow-up letter that we received on November 8th, 2016, noted 20 action items and two potential corrective actions. The draft certification report provided by Federal Highway Administration for review and comment by the Corps MPO on 28th of February, 2017. And the final certification report was issued on the 31st of March, 2017, which is driving our March deadline next year. The two corrective actions that had been cited were successfully addressed before the final certification report was issued. In addition, there were 7 noteworthy practices and 22 recommendations. I can delve into any of those if anyone is interested, but the documents are out there for anyone who wants to do the deep dive. I wasn't going to do that during my PowerPoint today. Are there any questions about the certification progress report?
So this is Tom Queen. So Amory can chime in if she needs. So, you know, the MPOs have different planning factors they have to address, and one of them specifically is freight. And so I would guess, and we don't need the details, but, you know, Amory, that's one thing GDOT and FHWA will be looking at. So these certifications are kind of like, you know, we come out with the clipboard and kind of say, you know, here's what the feds require, right? And how are you meeting it? And, you know, you write it down. So, you know, this committee is one of those things that I would suggest gets documented, right? Mm-hmm. To say, this is one of the many ways this MPO is addressing the requirement to have freight as one of its planning factors. So,
and Tom, one thing that I'm thinking a little further out is, I want to get a better understanding of GDOT's freight planning. Because I think for the next update of our freight plan, I would like to do something we didn't do last time, which would be to, I guess, work as more of a subset. Rather than going out necessarily with a different consultant, maybe being able to work with the same team, hopefully, and develop some kind of more detailed piece that dovetails with the GDOT plan, but something specific to Chatham County. I've never thought that it made a whole lot of sense that we went with a different consultant than the GDOT team last time. But that's sort of my thinking on what we might be doing with the plan for the next update.
What we'll do is, again, I don't think we'd do a deep. I would do a deep dive in Chatham County, but again, whoever you pick, for example, Atlanta Regional Commission is already talking about getting their update Mm-hmm. And they're kind of running it somewhat concurrently. So again, it's people say, what's the difference? I'm like, level of geography. I don't get in the weeds, right? And y'all would get in the weeds. And, you know, and the great thing about kind of running somewhat concurrently is, you know, you're constantly going, hey, you know, I'm digging down 3 feet. So this is where I'm going to stop. And then, you know, here's the shovel. And mm-hmm. then you keep digging. And then together we build a big old, well, hole's not really a good analogy.
No, not a good metaphor.
Build something up. I'll build the first 3 floors of the building. And then you guys come in with the electrical and the plumbing and all that stuff. But it's a level of geography that I don't pick up. You know, there might be some intersections. People go, man, the trucks keep coming around and tear up. They come up on the curb and tear up the sidewalk, and they're starting to rip out, you know, the pedestrian lighting, the pedestrian controls. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't pick that up typically, right? I'll pick up that, you know, I-16 in 20 years, you know, like the I-16 widening project now. We, you know, okay, we need to widen that. So when I say big picture, that's me. I pick that up, and then you guys would help with this intersection or the land use is happening over here, and maybe this intersection needs to be improved in the future, that kind of stuff. So, and that's kind of what the director planning is messaging too. I saw her speak yesterday. So we can talk more of the details. I like the fact you guys are doing it and definitely coordinated. And so it's just a matter of coordination, you know, hey, I got the big stuff. You guys do what? And then whatever you guys do gets folded in so that, anyway, we'll get into the details later, but that's where I'm looking. But just so everybody understands, I will not dig into Chatham County.
Okay. What is your schedule in terms of any freight planning at the state level?
Well, I've got to get this adopted by my board, like, you know, very late calendar 2022.
Okay. That helps to know that. Okay.
So, you know, I would like to think, I don't know if there's consultants on this call, I'm not going to say it. You know, it's not a secret, but, you know, state freight plans are required to be adopted every 5 years. So
right. That
means, again, end of calendar year 2022, my board needs to be stamping it so I can send it to the federal government. So that kind of gives you an idea if y'all know how long it takes to go ahead and do a study, back engineer a date to actually, you know, get the proposal out, get the selection stuff very soon. So, okay.
Okay. No, that helps. That helps. We'll keep an eye out for that.
So we, you know, we couldn't participate on that webinar that we tried to share with you, and I think Wakoda participated. Maybe you can get her notes, probably that, you know, will give also a good source of how you want to frame your plan. I think that was more adequate for NPO level.
Well, are you talking about the Talking Freight webinar?
Yeah, they're talking about the deliveries, actually.
Uh-huh. Oh. So that's more like into, you know, what it is Chatham County, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a complicated issue in Savannah.
Yeah, I don't think our freight plan probably would delve into that detail, but we will see.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a complicated one, yes, but, you know, we'll see.
This is Anne Marie Day with Federal Highway, leading the upcoming certification review. And one of the things that I had asked the NPO staff is to, you know, make these presentations to kind of bring awareness to the upcoming certification review, because between the federal partners consists of Federal Highway and Federal Transit, and GDOT will be our partners as well. The NPO will be our partners. And we just want involvement, not just talking to the NPO staff, because we do that on a daily basis, you know, talking to the NPO staff. So we have a vast knowledge of, you know, what's going on there and how they're working. But we also want to hear, this is an opportunity as well for this body to hear from the federal partners, hear from GDOT, and get a different perspective and what's working as it relates to freight. What's working, what's not working, what are some examples of things that are working in different parts of the nation. So again, I definitely would like to see, you know, members of this body, you know, try to participate in that review, as Mark alluded, that it will, we schedule a 3-day because it's a virtual, and with technology, you never know what's going to happen. So we kind of, I built in a buffer there just in case one day the technology messes up. A big part of that certification review is a public involvement component. And the public involvement, they pretty much tell us what's going on. What are some of the concerns there at the planning level and at the project delivery level? What is going on? What are some of the concerns? What are some of the high risk areas of concern? So we would definitely want to hear from this body, whether through just coming in and sitting on the site visit when we talk, when we interview the MPO staff, or be involved in that public meeting component. So this is an opportunity again for you all to kind of hear that this is coming up and how you can be involved and hear the information and share information as well.
Okay, thank you. That's for the federal certification review. Kind of in the same, in the same general topic, I have a question about a map for freight routes. The map that we have currently for freight projects, that just lists the same projects that we have in the TIP. Is that correct, Wakota?
Actually, in our freight plan, we have a series of recommendations, both at the policy level, land use level, and then the infrastructure level. And then the infrastructure improvements have divided into like short-term, mid-term, and long-term projects. So some of those are consistent with the long-range transportation plan, 2045 plan, and then carried over to the TIP for implementation. But some of those, especially the rail-related projects, we are not implementing agency. So probably the recommendations, we have forwarded those recommendations to the implementing agencies, for example, the Georgia Ports Authority and the local jurisdictions. I think Garden City requested the copy for that plan as well. So operational improvements, probably, and then a grid separation, and then like double decking of the like rail cars. So some of those that we can implement, some of those have to rely on the other like freight modes. But we don't control the funding for that, but they actually can use our plan as for a reference if they want
to. And how, when is that just updated? How often is that updated?
Well, freight plan is not a requirement for the MPO, but we will still try to update it before the long range transportation plan. The current one actually fits into the 2045 plan, but our next one, 2050 plan, we probably will have some kind of updates to the freight plan before that. So the recommendations will be carried over to the 2050 plan.
Yes, in general, think in terms of 5-year cycles, mostly driven by the MTP update cycle. Just makes a lot of sense.
Has there ever been any kind of study that was done by a consultant to look at the freight, the truck routes and freight movement and what needs there might be, done separately, like by a consultant? Has that been done in the past?
I would say yes.
For this committee?
Oh, for this, I mean, there was one done many years ago, intermodal freight study, but it's,
if we wanted to do something like that, I mean, would one municipality have to sponsor that, or is that something that the MPO could get funds for, without a sponsor? Is there planning funds for that?
Well, we probably would have to at least come up with some matching funds, although, there, it might be possible to develop something for in-kind match, but I don't know. I don't know if anybody has the kind of staff resources to put into an in-kind match on that sort of thing.
Okay, well, it's just something to think about. We can talk about it more in April, But I think there might be some benefit there to updating some of that stuff and kind of taking a fresh look at it, especially if GDOT's kind of doing the same thing, you know, to try to get some new information. There's a lot of new roads out there, and the port's steady growing, so a lot of new mm-hmm. projects. So.
Yeah, I think our last fleet plan was I think it's kind of comprehensive, but since then we also have like Stuart 7 corridor study. We're going to do that. It's a freight mm-hmm. corridor.
Yeah.
And then sure. You're going to have and then you have this I-16 at Little Neck interchange. That is also freight related, and then we have the I-95 yeah. at Airways Avenue. So though they are not specifically saying this is freight related, but those studies actually do contribute to the freight plan. So the recommendations of those studies probably will be incorporated into the new freight plan as well. So we're doing okay. like piece by piece.
Sure.
Okay.
All
right. We'll just leave that as an idea for next meeting.
Yeah.
This is Tom. Pam, that's a great comment, because I was like, you know, the short answer, yeah, the money's theirs. Kind of like the 307, we just figured out, right? Just figured out how to make it work. And one okay. thing, one idea I've always, building what you're saying is, you know, truck routes. I'm sure there's some roads that somebody on some municipalities or counties, you know, say it's trucks are banned, but there might not be signs up, or, you know, a route might go through several municipalities, and in some places, it says no trucks allowed, and then you cross over a you know line and trucks are allowed. So I've always said, you know, where are the local truck routes? And I remember several years ago, you know, folks said, I brought it up at this committee, and you know, one people kind of looked like, well, we don't really know. I mean, or something, you know, it might be in a dusty closet somewhere. That's an idea of just something that seems pretty simple, but just looking, and again, there might be a route that crosses three jurisdictions, and two of them might say trucks aren't allowed, and one of them might say yeah, and then you just go put it on a map and let folks actually go, wow, I didn't realize that. So that's another one of those, that's freight planning. So anyway, thank you. I'll stop babbling.
Oh, one thing, Pam, this is Mark. One thing I just thought of, since we're having this conversation of multiple jurisdictions, as Tom mentioned, is that, you know, we're approaching the spring of 2022 when we're talking about having our next meeting in April, and at that point we should be very close really to like
have
maybe
you just skipped 2021?
Oh, I'm sorry, I meant 2021. Yeah, but as we're talking about all these efforts, we also need to be mindful that, you know, within a year of your next meeting, we'll probably start to understand, you know, what's going to be happening with our urbanized area, because we'll probably be seeing some census urbanized designations, because as probably most on the call know, the MPO planning area, according to the planning regs, is supposed to take in the census urbanized area and those places it's expected to become urbanized in the next 20 years. So as we're doing all this planning, we need to be mindful that our planning boundary is most likely going to change while we're going forward with all of that. So we need to be proactive and probably, you know, keep fostering those lines of communication with the other jurisdictions.
Sure.
As that year unfolds, because they may be formally involved before we're done, and we
Mark,
do quite a bit. We do quite a bit.
To go back to what Tom was talking about, and I know we talked about that before when we met, was a simple map of where the truck routes are and where trucks are restricted. A map like that, is that something that the MPO staff could do with assistance from the committee members?
By committee members, you
don't
mean,
you don't have to answer that right now. If you want to think about that and give us an answer in April, that would be great at the next meeting. But we need to consider. I think that's a good idea, and it's something if we need to do a consultant for that, maybe we can start figuring out how much something like that would cost. But maybe something like that you guys could do in-house.
Well, if we could get, I would say if we could get, you know, a firm commitment to get a representative from each of the entities that maintains these facilities, there should, I mean, it should definitely be doable.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. And everybody that's still with us on this, if you have any information about that for your area, if you could try to provide that to Mark or Wycota before April, we could start trying to put that together.
Please, because when I arrived here in 1997, I was shocked to see that there was that the MPO did not have an inventory of all of that type of information. We had the MPOs I had worked in previously. We had a street and highway inventory that, you know, had all of that information, and that you could refer to. Yeah, and here it's elusive.
Better late than never, right? So let's just go ahead and get started on that. I don't want to keep everybody too long today. I know we need to move on. So
I'll second it if you need a second. Yes. Direct staff to put this on their to-do list. Thank you.
Draft work program is coming up, so we can certainly reference that.
I appreciate that. Okay, all right. Let's go ahead and move on. Let's go to the information reports. Is there anyone from GDOT that wants to go over the status report?
Mark, do you want to share my screen, or you can just open the attachment yourself?
If there's not, we could just, everybody can review it and ask if they have any specific questions.
Right. You know, I don't really have anything to say.
I don't know if there's anybody that. Okay. The only question I have is Effingham Parkway is still listed as long range. Does anyone have a let date for that? No. Okay.
Yeah, we have the construction actually programmed in the next tip, 2023. So it really shouldn't be long range.
Really?
So yeah, 2023 or 2024. But I mean, it's definitely not long range. So
These reflect again what those official dates are in the system now, and when the governor signs off on your new tip, then we'll flip the switch on those dates here. So I'll let you share what the draft tip says as your information. So that's good.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions about GDOT's projects? Okay. All right, we'll go on to the county project status report. Let me pull that up on mine. Can you pull it up on your screen?
Sure. It's probably faster if I just share it from mine so I don't have to keep swapping people back and forth.
Yeah.
If you can just tell me when to turn the page.
Okay. All right. Well, the big news I'm excited to tell everybody is that Benton Boulevard is open to traffic, the extension, which goes between Highlands Boulevard and State Route 30. The other bit of news that's kind of important there is that since Benton Boulevard is now open between Meinhart and State Route 30, we have closed the connection of Meinhart and State Route 30, where it was bad skew intersection. So that is now closed and a cul-de-sac is being built. So far, everything seems to be going smoothly with Benton. So very pleased with that. Trail Project.
Oh, sorry. Just a quick question. Has anybody conducted any counting to see what kind of pipeline that's opened up?
Not yet. We just opened it a couple weeks ago, and you know, we were working on that for so long.
Yeah.
It's taken people a little while to find it and figure out it's open. So I would give it a little bit more time before we do anything like that, you know, just to give everybody a chance to know that it's open and usable. So
But I have seen more and more every day traffic on the road. So I think it is getting used. Other than that, Truman Trail, that one is a Truman Trail project. That's the 2A, I guess, is pretty much finished. They did the ribbon cutting ceremony. I think there's a few cameras still that still need to be put up. But other than that, it's pretty much done.
It's a very nice trail.
We've got Quaco, I'm sorry, I went backwards. I'm doing the construction one first. I'm sorry. Quaco at 17 is continuing to move forward. Back to the pre-construction project, that really hasn't changed a whole lot. It's pretty much what it looked like. We've got Quaco widening that should follow the Quaco intersection. Actually, the State Route 21 at Pipe Makers Canal, that one kind of got put on hold. Since we can't really do the railroad crossing part of it, then there wasn't really a whole lot of point in doing the road part of it because they're right next to each other and they kind of go hand in hand. So that one's been put on the shelf for the time being. Little Neck Road is expected sometime next year, and Skidaway, Islands Expressway, and Wall Tower Road slope stabilization, all that should be moving along here in the next year now that we've got some of these other big projects out of the way. Does anybody have any questions about any of those projects? Okay. All right, that's it for me. City of Savannah, is there anybody that wants to go over those projects?
Hi, Pam. It's Michelle Strickland. We just very few things that Barry had submitted. The Truman Trail 2B is in GDOT review for approval for the cultural resources assessment of effects, so that we can submit the final programmatic categorical exclusion and complete environmental. Then Project Duran had a public open house November the 10th. Public comments are being compiled. And DeLesseps Avenue widening, the bid ads started last week.
Excellent. Thank you, Michelle. Does anyone have any questions for Michelle? Okay. Thank you. Moving on to public comments. Does anyone have anything else they want to throw in? Okay. All right. Announcements. Mark, Rico, do you guys have anything? I don't have any. There's nothing listed here. We did talk about a meeting next in April. So April, you guys could send something out on that.
Yes.
Okay. And then other non-agenda information says that there's feedback needed for the update to the comprehensive plans.
So anyone that likes online surveys, we got another one.
Okay.
The comp plan is a hungry little survey devil.
Where do they need to go? Oh. Okay, that's it right there. Okay.
I've got the link on the screen now, SurveyMonkey. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Or just go to MPC website. It'll all be there, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you. If there's nothing else, this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you all for participating, being here today.